don't know how the acoustics are here. Do you all of you hear me? No. So, I'll try to speak louder. Is it better? Okay. So I was wondering exactly why are they asking me to speak today and at this Suda Seda. The fact is, and I must own up to it, that I don't say Hallel and I actually say Tachanun. But everything is min hashamayim. And for me, today is a very special Su'udas Haidah. And let me explain. A number of years ago, when I turned 70, and I was reminded of some of the Gedolim that said that once you reach that age, then you should make a Su'udas Haidah every time you have a birthday subsequent to that age. And the reason is obvious. Yemeshno Seinu Bohem Shivim Shana, and the rest is all a tremendous chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which needs to be acknowledged. It happens to be that this year I would not have made a Suda Saida with my family, because even though today is my birthday, I just finished a round of Sheva Brachas of an Einikul Baruch Hashem, and the family was together for an entire week and we couldn't get them back again. And I was wondering to myself, where will I find three people to be Matir Neder? But Baruch Hashem, it so turns out that I am making a Su'udas Haidah right now, to which you are all very warmly invited. You know, the Ribbono Shel'olam works in strange ways when it applies to Klal Yisrael as well. It's very important to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many different kinds of Yidden, many different Jews. And when events occur, there are going to be different opinions and different understandings and different perspectives. Kulam ahuvim, kulam brurim, kulam giborim, as long as kulam oisim ve'emo v'yira ritzayin kainam. For example, there was a Yid by the name of Rabbi Avraham Yaakov Friedman. He was a Sadigera Rebbe, originally in Vienna. He came to Eretz Yisrael just by the Anschluss, and his family was protected from the destruction of the Sadigera Hasidim, who numbered in the thousands, and he was left with several dozen Hasidim after the war. He lived in Tel Aviv, and his minig was to come to the Beis HaKnesses HaGadol on Yom HaAtzmaus and to say Hallel B'Tzibur. A Hasidish Rebbe, a tremendous Talmid Chacham, who spent his life learning Yoimim V'Laila. And when the Mispalulim danced in the courtyard of the Beis HaKnesses, he joined them in their circle, and he danced with his Lavos. And people would notice that there's a special Simcha for him on this particular day. And it wasn't his birthday. He was celebrating Yom HaAtzmaus. And one of his Hasidim asked him, why so much excitement? And he said that when the Nazis came into Vienna, at the very beginning, before they started killing everybody, and he was still there, the first thing that they did was to try to mock the Jews and make them do uncomfortable, difficult, disgusting things. And they took the rav of these Jews and they made him sweep the streets of Vienna. They put a broom into the hands of the Rebbe and they made him sweep. And while he was sweeping, he turned his eyes to the Ribbono Shel Olam and he said, Ribbono Shel Olam, im eske, if I will be zoche and survive this, I hope to be able to sweep the streets of Eretz Yisrael. And one day the Nazis put a flag, the Nazi flag with the Nazi cross, the swastika. And they put it into his hands. And they demanded of him that he should climb up to the tallest building and plant the flag so that everyone would be able to see that they are the master race. And when he was putting up the flag, he said to himself, Ribbono Shel Olam, once again, I plead with you that I should be zoche to plant the flag of Eretz Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, at 3 o'clock in the morning, today, on Yom HaAtzmaus, before the crowds gathered and before the davening began, I took a broom and I went out into the streets of Tel Aviv in front of my home and I swept the floor and I raised the flag. You know that when the Balfour Declaration first was pronounced, but Meir Simcha HaKohen of Dvinsk, the great Meshech Chochma, the Ar Sameach, a person who learned 18 years, 18 hours a day, one of the Gaonei Olam, Rav Meir Simcha of Dvinsk, he said that now that the governments of the world recognize that the Jews are entitled to a homeland, the three Shvuos are no longer relevant. And he felt that it was with the permission of the Goyim that they were able to build the land. The many different Shitas and many different Mahalchim, even amongst Gedolei Yisrael. And one of the responsibilities that we have, simply as Jews, is to acknowledge one another and to love one another and to respect one another, regardless of where we are specifically, whether it's about the day or the celebration, or even about the Medina itself. And especially concerning Eretz Yisrael, there's a very strong prohibition to speak ill of Eretz Yisrael and of its people, of the land and of its citizens. The Pasuk says, Ki rotzu avadecha es avoneha, ves afora yichoneinu. The Gemara in Ksuvos Daf Kuf Yud Beis tells us that Rav Ami and Rav Asi used to get up when it was getting very hot and they would go into the shade in anticipation of the distress that the Talmidim would have. And they would say, oh, it's so hot here, it's so uncomfortable. And the same in reverse, they would go from the cold into the warmth in the wintertime. Precisely because, as Rashi explains, they did not want that their Talmidim should speak ill of the environment, of the climate of Eretz Yisrael. And for the same reason, it is said that there were Amoroyim who used to go and sweep up the stones, take away the pebbles and the rocks and the pathways, so that people should not feel that it's uncomfortable for them to walk in Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, the great Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, who is not considered amongst the more famous Tzionim, he was once, in the day that they were establishing the Evan Pinah of a Shchuna in Yerushalayim, and the pathways were strewn with rocks and pebbles, and it was hard to walk, he would go in front of the whole Olam and take away stone after stone. He was a Zokain and a Cholosh. But it is written that Pina ba'atzmoi kechamishim avonim. And while he was taking away those stones, he would say the Pasuk, Solu, Solu, Hamesila, Sakalu, Me'evan. This was the love that they had. And when people would leave to go back to Chutz La'aretz, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld would say to them, Ure'ei betuv Yerushalayim. The Pasuk says, see the good of Yerushalayim. Do not see anything bad. You know, I was thinking to myself, what should I speak about? That wouldn't take 40 minutes. And I was thinking how fortunate I am. I have a beautiful mishpacha, kulam ahuvim, all of them b'nei Torah, tzaddikim, a phenomenal talmidim over the years, thousands of them, thanks to this great yeshiva. I have a kehila, but there's one thing that I regret every single day. I don't write in my tshuvas that I regret that I'm living in Mitzrayim, like some say the Rambam wrote, but I regret that I did not establish myself in Eretz Yisrael at the very beginning. And now it's too late, because captains cannot leave their ship, and people with responsibilities for kehilos, they have to stay with their kehila. There's too much at stake. I'm too much of a Baal Gaiva to think that if I would leave, it would be irrelevant and immaterial. So I'm stuck. And the truth of the matter is, because of that, maybe my family is also in that way, because we stay close to one another. Had I decided to go much earlier, then whatever I would have built would have been in Eretz Yisrael. And that's where Jews belong, and that's where we belong, and that's where every one of you belongs. You belong in Eretz Yisrael. Chazal tell us an amazing thing. Rav Zeira was going to Eretz Yisrael, and he came to the river, and he had to cross the river, but the ferry was not there. So what do? You wait for the ferry to come. But he was impatient. He was hasty. He was intemperate. And so he even endangered himself somewhat, say the Mefarshim, and he took a rope and somehow ferried himself across the river on a log. And a min, an apikoris, maybe a Christian, I don't know. And Chazal say tzeduki, you know that the censors tampered with it, and it's not a tzeduki. But whoever it is, he made fun of him. He saw this scene, and he said to him, Ama Paziza, you are a hasty nation. The Kadmisu Pumaichu de Udnaichu. You are the ones who said Naaseh before Nishma, even before you even knew what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in store for you. Before you knew about any single mitzvah and what it is and what it will require of you. You already said, we accept Naaseh before Nishma. And you're still a hasty nation. To which Rav Zeira answered, that place where even Moshe and Aaron were not zeicha to cross, who says that I will have the zechus? It's a remarkable answer. You know that this Ama Paziza is word for word the same thing that the same tzduki perhaps, or some other tzduki, some other apikara said to Rava. In the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos, that is well known that Rava was sitting and learning Basmada Atzuma, and he apparently was leaning on one of his fingers, and the fingers were bleeding, and he was totally unaware. And this Apikoros said to him the same thing, you are a hasty nation, that you place Naaseh before Nishma, and you're still hasty. Look at you. You don't even pay attention to the most basic things. Don't you realize that you're bleeding profusely? And Rava answers whatever he answered. We trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't have to worry. He'll never steer us wrong. But I find it remarkable about these two stories, because the two stories have a tzad hashoveh. There's a certain complete and absolute commitment to something. Something that is so precious and so holy and so important and so valuable to you that it's impossible to be rational about it. And then recently I realized something else. That this Gemara at the end of Ksubis, which tells the story of Reb Zeira about crossing without the ferry, also has another parallel. And that is a Gemara at the end of Maseches Kiddushin. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Meir was totally convinced that he's not worried about a Yetzer Hara. He doesn't have to worry about the Parsha of Arayas. He's a Kadosh and a Tar, and the Yetzer Hara cannot get to him. And the Satan appeared in the guise of a beautiful woman. And she was on the other side of the river. And Reb Meir saw this woman. And he couldn't wait for the ferry. There was no ferry. So he took a rope and he crossed on a log. And in the middle of the river, the Satan let him go. And he realized that the Yetzer Hara is something to contend with after all. What is the common denominator of this? That the love for Eretz Yisrael makes a person irrational. If you really love someone, if you really have a taiva for something, if you really have a desperate desire, you suspend your logic, you suspend your self-control, you suspend, everything falls away. You lose your balance. You forget where you are and who you are. You must achieve the goal no matter what. In Reb Meir's case, the Satan appeared in the guise of the beautiful woman. But Eretz Yisrael is that beautiful woman. But the difference is that it's a beautiful woman, beheter. Not only beheter, but betzivui, bechayva. It is a beautiful woman that a person ought to lose his balance. And it's a beautiful woman that lav kol adam zaycha lekach. And the truth is, when you still can, before you've established your families, before you've established yourselves, when you still have a chance, that's where a Jew should be. That's where we belong. That is our home. That is our place. And it doesn't almost matter whether you say, I'm thrilled with the Medina, I have tainus to the Medina. A person shouldn't say bad things about Eretz Yisrael, and a person should want very much to live in Eretz Yisrael. And that, I believe, is a tzad hashava that every single Jew should be maskin to. You know, it's very interesting. This question of living in Eretz Yisrael and whether you should go is an ancient question. The question was raised in the time of the Trumas HaDeshen, who lived in Germany. It's repeated verbatim. He quotes the Trumas HaDeshen in Mishlah HaKodesh. In the Psakim and Ksavim, which is the Chelek Beis of the Tshuvas of Rabbi Yisrael, the Trumas HaDeshen, in Simen Pei Ches, he asks, Mashekasafta li'oid me'aliyos kol eretz tzvi ulir ha'kodesh, she'yibonu b'mehera b'yomenu. He writes, Avada Gevis, it's a mitzvah. And you asked, but there's not going to be a kibbutz of Talmidei Chachomim for me to learn with. Maybe my learning will go down. He writes, Dalucha, the bevadei shevach godol u'malo yeshloi la'odom hador be'eretz Yisrael. The kol shkein v'ir ha'kodesh. And he writes, L'tayeles oylem haba v'oylem hazeh. A remarkable statement. The Tayeles Olam Hazeh. Omnam shamanu kam aponim pomim sheyesh lasham bnei bris me'aravim shnechshavim l'rishoyim gemurim. There are people who maser on us, there are people who make us tzaras, people who mevalbel da ashkenazim, that are shomrei Torah. And then he says the mezonos are very difficult, and who knows if we can manage. Not to mention the rishus of the Ishmaelim, the Goyim, the Arabs. So we have it on all sides. That's what I hear, he writes. L'chein kol ish yishayer ba'atzmoy, ba'hasogas gufoy u'mamoynoy, ba'ezeh derech yochol amoy b'yiras Hashem u'b'shimu mitzvosov. He doesn't say, under these circumstances, it's absurd to go to Eretz Yisrael. He says, you have to evaluate. You have to ask yourself the question, can I manage? Will I prevail? Will I be able to be a Shomer Mitzvah and a Yirei Shamayim in Eretz Yisrael? The person is asking the question, but I won't have the kibbutz of Torah. Today you have more Torah in Eretz Yisrael than anywhere in the world. The opportunities for Parnassa exist. And no matter what, the Yishmaelim of yesterday are not the Yishmaelim of today. With all the rockets and with all the intifadas, a Jew is very safe in Eretz Yisrael. And anti-Semitism in the rest of the world is growing by the minute. I just want to conclude with two particular cases of people who came to Eretz Yisrael under circumstances that would deter the most valiant and the most courageous. And not only did they go, but they went with a zest and a fire. They went like Reb Zeira. They were mevatel, all reason and all rationale. And they prevailed. One of them is from the 1500s. He's known to you because if you learn Mishnayos, you know that there's a pirush in the Mishnayos called the Melech Shlomo. It's a fantastic pirush on all of Mishnayos. This person, his name was Reb Shlomo Adani. He came from Aden, from Yemen, from Aden. He was born in Sana'a. And his father brought him when he was a youngster to Eretz Yisrael. In 1571, they came to Eretz Yisrael, and on the way to coming to Eretz Yisrael, the family was decimated. And his wife and his children died, and the only one that was left to the father was this little boy Shlomo, who was 4 years old. The Melech Shlomo. He was the only one left to his father. They started living in Tzfas and they lived in tremendous poverty. When he was 15 years old, he lost his father and he went to live by someone. He was a Talmid of Rebbe Tzal Ashkenazi, the Shita Mekubetzes. And he wrote, of course, this incredible chibur, which took him about 30 years. In all of this time, where he lived in Hebron, I believe, in all of this time he lived in incredible poverty and suffering. They sometimes didn't have food to put into their mouths, b'chlal. And he wrote the Melech Shlomo. It's unbelievable. There's not a single Jew today that comes to Eretz Yisrael that has anywhere close to the privations of this mishpacha. And yet it is the very same Melech Shlomo who wrote that the suffering of the Jews of Teman is because they didn't go in the Aliyah with Ezra. And even though Ezra sent emissaries to Teman, they refused to come because life was good in Teman, and it was too hard for them to go. And that's one of the reasons that the Yidden in Teman were so enthusiastic to come to Eretz Yisrael in our times. Because they remembered this Masorah and they didn't want to fail the Ribbono Shel Olam again. And then, of course, there's Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov, the famous Pa'as HaShulchan, Talmud of the Vilna Gaon in the Gaon's later years. I believe he may have been present at the Petira of the Gra. You know, he came to Eretz Yisrael as part of the group that came, Talmidim of the Gaon. Same time, Talmidim of the Baal Shem came. And they established themselves. This was the Kehillah of the Prushim in Eretz Yisrael. And let me tell you something that he wrote in his Akdama to the Pa'as HaShulchan. And this is incredible. He writes that when he arrived in Yerushalayim, there was a Mageifa in Tof Kuf Ayin Dalad. And the Mageifa took from him Elishayna Heichal HaNegev and Nilka Chasni, his son-in-law, HaMuflog VaHashonun, a big Talmid Chacham. And he was 19 years old. And then his daughter, who was 18 years old, was Nifteres. And they had a little baby that was left, El Yokim HaBein Yakili. The Savalti Rabbis Legadloi, but he raised him until he was 20 years old. The Nilkach Mimeni Ben Motzai Chag Tov Kup Tzadik Dalet. V'achob Bni Anechmod Nachman Ubiti Moras Esther. Achakach Niftav Bni Azach HaSeichel Ben Yud Dalet Shana Reb Zev Wolf. Ubo Eilai Shmu Oro Michur Ben Tzfas. Sheniftar Oz Ovi Moili Ve'imi Rabonis. The man lost nearly everything in Eretz Yisrael. This is not from a Shoah, this is not from Nazim, this is not even from Yishmaelim. This is from Magefa, from sickness, from poverty. And he writes, after mentioning all of this in his Akdama, he writes, the Surim Rabim Omdolish Zachisi Listapeach Benachlas Hashem, Ulisgade Ba'afwa Ze Shiva Ve'esim Shona. 27 years I am Zoicha to be able to be Zoicha. I am Zoicha to be able to be in the dust of Eretz Yisrael. And he writes, "Pachad v'rov, v'cherev ta'amti." I tasted fear, I tasted hunger, I tasted the sword. But look what I built up. Hanhagas koyel tzibur Torah b'chol koychi asisi v'avadati v'limut Torah b'rabim kavati v'yisoy yishuv eretz yisrael mibachutz u'befnim yosadati. It rhymes, you know, it all rhymes. It's his hakadoma to his sefer. Everything has to rhyme. In this beautiful song, he speaks about all of his suffering and he says, look what I accomplished. B'chazdei Hashem. I built, I created. This is the Jew. This is a quintessential spirit of Klal Yisrael. Every single Jew has that koyach to overcome the greatest of adversities. My father and my mother survived the ghetto of Vilna. They were there for years like rats in a sewer. And every single Jew of Vilna was put to death. 80,000 Jews except for 200 survivors and a few others that ran out into the forest to become partisans. And look at the mishpacha that they built up. Look at the families that they created. Look at the Torah that they built. All of these Yidden. The whole of Torah that we have today, they are the ones who are responsible for it, the survivors. The Jew has a koyach and a spirit that is indomitable. And that spirit is the spirit of the Ta'as HaShulchan. That spirit is the spirit of the Sadiger Rebbe. That spirit is the spirit of Rav Shlomo Ma'adani. And that, Rabbi Yisai, is your spirit. We don't have anything near or comparable, Baruch Hashem, to the tlois and the suffering. And I didn't even finish. You have the picture already. Because his house caved in and Baruch Hashem, they were all saved. I mean, it's mind-boggling. And then after all is said and done in Tov Kuf Tzadik Dalet, there was a rebellion of the Druze. And the Druze went and they fought against Ibrahim Pasha. So what's the first thing that any rebellion does? It wipes out all the Jews that they can get hold of. Like the Khmelnytsky massacres, that's what they had. But Boisai, there's nothing compared to what... There's a few little difficulties. They have to go. And that is what I wanted to tell you on the Suda Saida of my birthday, Boisai. I should be Zoicha to the Gula Shleima b'Mehela v'Yameinu Amen.